In May, Olympic gold medalist and world champion American sprinter Tori Bowie was found dead in her Florida home. She was just 32 years old. Last month, following an autopsy, the cause of death was confirmed as complications related to childbirth. She was 8 months pregnant. And now, two of Tori's former teammates and friends, Allison Felix and Tiana Madison, are speaking out about their near-death experiences during childbirth and about the wider crisis in Black maternal health. The CDC estimates that the maternal mortality rate for Black women is almost 3 times higher than it is for white women. And Allison Felix and Tiana Madison both join me now. Welcome, and I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having us. Yeah.
I wonder if you would tell us about Tori as you knew her. Allison, if you would start, who was Tori?
When I think back about Tori and just being able to be her teammate, I'm just reminded of what a big personality she had. And she was just really funny. And she had this way of not taking herself too seriously and just kind of an infectious joy. And it was just always so much fun to be able to run on the relays with her and compete, you know, alongside of her.
I agree. Tori's joy and infectious laugh and her country accent just would draw you in. She was so warm and at the same time was such a fierce competitor. And so I will never forget the impact she had on me and just how you can be both the most warm, loving person in the world and the most fierce and intimidating sprinter in the world.
As I mentioned, she died because of complications from childbirth, including eclampsia and some respiratory distress. Allison, you had a major scare with preeclampsia and some high blood pressure. What happened with you?
I had what I thought was a really great pregnancy. I didn't have any issues or symptoms. When I was at 32 weeks, I went to my doctor for a routine appointment, and I found out that I was spilling protein and then quickly admitted to the hospital, and things moved very fast once that process happened. I was diagnosed with a severe case of preeclampsia, and a number of things kind of spiraled, and I ended up delivering shortly after via emergency C-section. And so it was just devastating and traumatic to find myself in that very scary situation.
It can lead to extremely serious, if not fatal, complications for both you and your baby. But how is your baby now?
Yeah, it's great. I feel so blessed that we were able to walk out of the hospital as a family after a stay in the NICU and all of that. And I know for so many families, that isn't the case.
And Tiana, what happened with you?
My pregnancy was going well. There was nothing wrong. Nothing was happening until one day I went into preterm labor at 26 weeks. And when I went to the hospital, they told me the best course of action would be to try to stay pregnant. And so they inverted my bed. I was upside down. I tried to remain pregnant for my baby to give him time to develop and proceeded to slowly die over the next 4 days. And you do your best as Olympians to know your body, to know exactly what it's going through. So to not be believed or to be dismissed when you're telling your doctors in that situation that something is going horribly wrong is a traumatic experience. And you also feel like you failed a little bit to deliver a baby at 26 weeks. So after a long stay in the NICU, 73 days, we were able to bring my son home. But it was the fight of both of our lives.
We also know that tennis legend Serena Williams had a blood clot after she gave birth. We heard similar things from her, that doctors didn't take her concerns seriously, that she had to advocate for herself. And I remember people saying, why would they not take Serena Williams seriously? That can't possibly be true. When you hear things like that of people not really understanding what is going on in the American maternal care system, let me start with you, Allison. What do you want to say to Americans about their own healthcare system?
I think the problem is so shocking that it is hard to believe that in this day and age that for me to give birth, it's more dangerous than it was for my mother to give birth. And I think because the statistics are so alarming, it can be hard to even grasp that. To me, it just breaks my heart that it takes a devastating, traumatic loss like Tori's to bring this back to the forefront when it has been happening over and over again. And I think what infuriates me the most is that 80% of pregnancy-related deaths are preventable. Like, we can do something about this, and we have to.
You spent the statistics, Black women in America, 3 times more likely to die from childbirth complications than their white counterparts. Some people say it's because of income inequality, or maybe there's underlying health problems, but here we're talking about 3 very high-profile American athletes, 4 if we include Serena Williams here. And I wonder, Tiana, do you think people are just trying to leave racism out of that? Do you think that it makes people feel better if they can pretend that race isn't part of it?
Yeah, I think both things can be true. I think people are diminishing the role that racial disparity plays in social determinants of health. So when you break that down and you consider education, access and quality, economic stability, your social and community context, your neighborhood environment, and your access to quality healthcare, people tend to not think about how racial disparity permeates each of those variables that determine what your health is like in America. Part of me wants to say, you know, good for you that that's not your experience. I'm happy for you. But another part of me also wants to shake these people up and say, hey, when someone has a different experience from you, believe them.
And unfortunately, sometimes the person who's not believing you is a medical professional. Allison, following Tori's death, you wrote about this in Time magazine and you said, doctors really need to hear the pain of Black women. Do you also feel that your pain during both pregnancy and childbirth was not believed, that it was ignored?
For me, it was a little different circumstance just because by the time I got to the hospital, I was in such a bad state that it was already too late. When I think back and reflect, I wish that I had been more educated or even just made aware by my doctor that I was at risk. And so I think there's a lot of things that we can tell women right away when they find out that they're pregnant. And if you're a Black woman, that you are at risk, that there are things that you need to look for. And then you know that you can bring that up, those issues, to your doctor and hopefully be heard. But what we've seen over and over is that in so many cases, Black women aren't heard.
You know, I wonder, Tiana, so often we have heard people trying to explain to Black women, here's how you can change the way you speak to doctors and professionals so that you can be better heard. How might medical professionals learn to listen better so they can hear Black women and believe them better?
I personally do not believe it's that difficult. Your oath is to do no harm, and that means that you treat the patient in front of you. You treat the whole patient. You listen to them. It shouldn't be that difficult, but we see that Black women with higher education levels have worse outcomes because when they are advocating for themselves in those settings, they're seen as problem patients or combative. And so even though it is unfair that we do have to change our behavior sometimes in order to survive, the goal is to survive. The goal is to raise that baby. And so we need to advocate for ourselves, but also bring someone with you. Have a witness and have someone who can speak up and advocate on your behalf when you're not being listened to. Really grateful that my partner was that person. We were both educated on what could happen to me in childbirth. We were prepared. We had my advanced medical directive and my will in my hospital bag. We knew what could happen because money and education can mitigate, but it doesn't vaccinate us from this epidemic, as you've seen with all these high profile examples. And yeah, it's unfair that we have to do this, but until we can dismantle this system and the way that it's not serving us, we just need to do what we need to do.
Allison, what do you think needs to happen? You've written about, for example, your support of momnibus bills. Is that one of the things that you think could help solve this?
Absolutely. The Momnibus Act, you know, it makes those investments that we need to happen so that more funding can happen for community-based organizations, more research to be done. We have to be supported. This is a big problem.
Would you be afraid to have another child?
I am afraid. I know deeply that I would like to have another child, but I am. I am scared. The events that I went through were very traumatic to me, and that has stayed with me. And so when I think about, you know, bringing another child into this world. I have that desire, but it does scare me to think, you know, will I be here to mother that child? And I think I know that I have to be prepared for everything. And it's a much different kind of preparation and going into this than I did previously, because I'm so much more educated. And I think with that, I know the outcomes that are possible.
Tiana, would you be afraid to have another child?
Terrified and still traumatized, to be honest. And so we have decided to not expand our family and have taken steps to make sure that that does not happen.
I've been speaking to American track and field Olympic medalists Tiana Madison and Allison Felix about their former teammate and fellow Olympian Tori Bowie's untimely death and the crisis in Black maternal health care. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.